everybody, welcome back to another episode of It's Honest Podcast.
Hey.
You see me in front of the camera today? There's some room on the couch, so I kind of made it.
You made it in, man. You made the cut. Thank you. Congratulations.
I made it, guys. But from my left, well, from my left to my more left.
Here we go.
I have John.
What's up?
And Cliff.
Hey,
no
man.
Gabe or Ash. And then a very special guest, Mr. David Morales. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on. So Dave is a comedian. He's how long have you been performing for?
7 years now.
Wow.
7 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Got a vet in the building.
Right.
Like I said, I have no clue about you. I'm really interested, and I have a whole lot of questions to ask you. But go ahead. Keep leading this in. I don't want to interrupt.
I mean, that's the lead in.
Okay. I didn't know that was the lead in.
So you're born and raised in Lorraine?
Yeah, West Side Lorraine.
West Side?
Okay. Yep, South Central.
Should I throw the West up? I mean, I'm from the West Side, too.
Me too. Same.
Yeah.
Me too.
But yeah, I graduated from Emerald King.
Okay.
Nice.
What year?
2005.
Ooh, okay. Man.
He probably knows my other brother, too.
Which one?
JC.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? What if he's like,
And he's like, no, I don't know him.
Well.
Oh, no, he's not that nice. Fire.
What made you get into comedy?
I kind of just like fell into it, really. Like, I've always loved entertainment.
Okay.
When I was younger, I used to be more into like music and stuff like that. Like, I've taken bass lessons and whatnot. Like, I was in a band with a couple buddies of mine when I was in high school too. We performed at Peabody's once.
Okay.
And then it just never really like stuck though. I liked it, but it wasn't really like like my thing, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then years later, I ended up moving out to Lakewood with a couple buddies of mine. And a really good friend of mine, we had always enjoyed just like making short skits and stuff like that and filming like all throughout my whole life, really. And we kind of like just stumbled upon like an open mic one day, just walking around in the city, like in our neighborhood.
Do you remember what the place was?
Yeah, Lakewood Village Tavern, actually. It's one of the most popular open mics out in Cleveland.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. All right. LVT every Wednesday at 9 o'clock.
And how did your first session go?
I bombed. Terrible.
Cliff is getting ready for like a story, hero story.
No, I mean, I just wanted him to be honest, and he was transparent. He bombed. Like, did you not like prepare anything? You just went up there?
I don't think you... Like, if you've never done it before,
okay.
I don't think you understand how much... Like, just level of like having something prepared or just even being comfortable in front of the stage. Cause, like, I mean, I've always been quick, you know what I mean? Like, as far as like, you know, quick witted type shit, like saying stuff back and forth and whatnot. But actually having something prepared, you know, and not talking too fast. I feel like I talked way too fast during the first time.
Okay.
Because it's like you like prepare yourself somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, this is what I'm going to say. This is going to be 5 minutes for sure. And then all of a sudden, by the time you're like done talking, it's been a minute and 10 seconds. Like a minute and 10 seconds because you just fucking chopped everything up and just fucked everything up, you know? So after doing so many shows, you start to learn how to pace yourself, how to breathe on stage, how to, you know.
Right, the repetition.
Oh, yeah, for sure, definitely.
And what was, like, your biggest Achilles heel at first? Like, what was a technique that you, like, had to learn? Was it, like, you know, storytelling? Was it, like, you know, bringing the crowd along? Like, what was it?
I've always been a storyteller, honestly. I like, you know, I see your guys' questions, so I don't want to jump to the shit. But I've always been more into comics like that who actually have that. In story, like, I mean, I like your, you know, Ronnie Dangerfields and people who do like quick shits and stuff like that.
Right.
Like, oh yeah, my wife did this and blah, blah, you know what I mean? Like that shit like that. But to me, honestly, I'd rather, tell like a story basically. But
right.
I think it's better too, honestly, for writing because, I mean, one joke can last at least like two and a half minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely helps with your set, especially if you're trying to, you know, I think telling a story in front of a crowd, too, just makes them feel a little bit more comfortable with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very key in order to not only be a performer, but just to, you know, crush.
Heck yeah. I mean, one of my idols, Kobe Bryant, said the art of storytelling is an art that humanity shouldn't lose.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, important, you know what I mean? So that's pretty dope. And I'm, like, really interested in you. I'm going to have to check out your comedy. Were you, like, a class clown at any point in your life? Like, did you have, like, a natural funny gene in you? Like,
Yeah. I mean, all throughout my whole life, I've always, you know, been that person. Not, like, overbearing or, like, asshole-like. But definitely, you know, I've always had that personality as far as class clown type shit.
Okay, okay. Did you guys have any questions for him? Because I have a bunch. I don't want to, like, steal them. I'm
interested in the guy. I think with storytelling, I've been to a couple of your shows and a couple shows in general, and I think a lot of the storytelling, I love it when it's, like, you tell a joke, and then, like, 20 minutes later, you follow up with, like, the end of, like, the joke, or you kind of, I love that. I love where they're, like, the circle moment. Yeah, I love that. I love that.
Oh, for sure. Definitely. I mean, especially, I mean, if you're writing a whole set, depending on how long it is, you want it to flow, like, one into the next. Because, like, if you're talking about, you know, like, oh, my uncle and this and that, and blah, 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 and all of a sudden, like, the next one, you're like, and then I was sucking dick. And you're like, where did you just go, so you man? Just like, what the fuck? Yeah, exactly. Right. So you have to, definitely each story should be something that's leading into the next or something about your life or, you know what I mean?
Like weaving like a story together, honestly, it sounds like.
Kind of like what Kevin Hart and Dave Chappelle does, you know what I mean? Because they're usually telling the art in whatever set they do. And speaking of sets, what's the longest set you've ever done?
Longest I've ever done is like, I think like 25 minutes, half hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was the most memorable show that you can remember?
It was probably, probably the last one we did at the Palace. It was me, Bill Squire, Mary Santora, and Ramon Rivas. And, they basically like have been like at the top.
Okay.
Of Cleveland comedy since I've, you know, started and before me. They've been doing it for, you know, years and years and years. And now Bill and Mary, I mean, they're on a successful radio show that's on iHeartRadio, broadcasted all throughout the country. And Mary's traveling all over the country. Ramon, he's from the south side of Lorraine.
Okay.
And he has a Comedy Central special. He has a fucking HBO special. He's got, like, all this other shit, too. So to be able to open up for them at this point in my career, especially in my hometown theater, we had like, I mean, Palace fits like fucking 1,400 people. So we weren't able to bring in 1,400 people, but we had like close to about 500 people.
Wow.
And just to have that like in my fuck, you know, like in my neighborhood, and especially to have those people that I've looked up to so most to like be in this moment, you know what I mean? I thought that was pretty cool.
Heck yeah.
It's kind of surreal, you know?
That's pretty fun.
What's the name of that radio show, if you want to give it a quick shout out?
The Alan Cox Show.
Alan Cox Show. Okay.
Yeah.
And do you remember the moment when you, I don't want to ask that one. That's kind of corny. Who are your idols in the comedy field? That's when I know you just mentioned a couple, but are there any other idols in the comedy field that you have?
I mean, I feel like, as far as Bill and all of them, I mean, I don't really idolize them. I look up to them and from like a professional standpoint because they've been able to do it so successfully. And I try to like learn from them in some aspects. But idolize-wise, I would say I've always looked up to Jerry Seinfeld and Eddie Murphy.
Ooh, nice. Okay.
Those are like my two guys. And I just saw Jerry live for the first time a month ago at Playhouse Square.
What was that like?
Nice.
It was honestly, like, I've been watching that shit since I was, like, a kid, man. So, like, and even till now, like, I mean, I have his books and stuff like that. And I just love, like, how him and Eddie have just been able to just become so successful in both their fields and just still be able to kill it to this day.
Heck yeah.
Like, you know, like, if you put them on stage at any point, at any time, you know that they're going to fucking, like, just
kill it.
Oh, yeah, for
just
sure.
Just kill it. Like, there's no question that they would, you know what I mean? But seeing Jerry live, I've never seen him live before, and he just, such a professional. He just, like, everything was just flowing, and just his whole, like, set, it was an hour, but it seemed like it just went by, like, so quick. But he was up there for an hour, and it just didn't feel like it. Like, you just wanted to hear more.
Heck yeah. You know what they say when you're having a good time? Time flies, you know?
Oh, for sure, definitely. Yeah, that's I grew up watching all that stuff, and especially Eddie. I used to watch him on SNL, and I remember watching his 80s specials when I was a kid. My parents didn't give a shit. They let me watch whatever. I remember watching that stuff, and just like, you know, him in movies and what he's been able to accomplish. It's funny because like whenever someone tries to talk shit about Jerry Seinfeld, I'm like, you know, he's worth like over $800 million.
Right.
He's doing something right.
Yeah. Like, how can you argue, like, you're stupid. That's why you don't like Jerry Seinfeld. Like, you can't get, like, I mean, if you ever watch Curb Your Enthusiasm too as well, you know, Larry David, him and Jerry were just such a great team.
Heck yeah.
And it's far few, you know, in between when you meet someone like that where you can, like, partner up and shit like that. So for them to just to still be killing, I mean, Curb Your Enthusiasm is still fucking funny.
I might revisit that just because you brought it up.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned SNL. I don't know if you saw it last night. I saw some sort of headline. It said there was a heckler that, like, said, like, told them that they sucked or something. Have you ever had someone, like...
At the show?
At the, yeah.
Like, during the taping?
During, yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Have you ever had a heckler? How would you handle a heckler if you had one?
I don't really get heckled. You'll have someone who will like try and chime in, you know, from time to time. But I think you've seen me, you know, host shows and perform and stuff like that. So, like, usually whenever anyone's being disrespectful at any moment or even talking or on their phones or some shit like that, I mean, I'm pretty quick to, like, fucking them up and telling them, you know, like, why are you here?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
I think someone wooed at you and you said, shut the fuck up.
No, I'm totally with you. I mean, there's definitely a fan etiquette you should have when you're at a show.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, out of respect to the performer.
I think that was Abigail. I think my girlfriend was like, just trying to talk. I'm like, let them do their thing.
John can't remember now. Or doesn't want to get in trouble. I got a question. For being a comedian, is it hard sometimes, just more prevalent nowadays, like certain jokes that you should tell or should venture into? Or
like, that's a good question, because certain jokes are off limits.
Or like or just cancel culture. You know how that is. Cancel like culture.
shit. Honestly, I respect everybody.
There you go.
So I don't really worry about that.
Okay.
Like, my sets and my jokes are about me and my personal life. I don't talk about politics because, honestly, I don't watch that shit and I don't give a fuck.
Hey.
And then, preach. I mean, all my jokes are about me and my life or, like, family or just, like, dating experiences and shit like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But that's about it. I haven't really... I mean, you'll have a couple girls who'll be like, I heard you be telling that joke about me, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, maybe you should have went fucking crazy there. You know what I mean?
You gave me material.
Right. Yeah, you helped me.
I don't think I can necessarily get canceled on that.
You know? No, you can't.
Nah.
No.
As long as it's not vulgar, you know what I mean? Or too over the top. But you look like the type of guy, you keep it smooth.
Nah,
you keep
it pretty vulgar.
He's like, yeah. Well,
and I think Mary, during the show at the Palace, I think her thing, she talked about COVID a little bit, and, you know, like, that's kind of not political, but there was some nodes of that, you know?
Yeah, she lost her father during that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's a very, like, you know, emotional subject and touchy thing for her, so she was able to turn that around and write about it. So I think that, you know, different people have, you know, how they relieve.
Cope,
yeah. Basically, and I think, you know, comedy is, like, a very therapeutical thing for her. So I think that's why she came up with that whole thing.
Yeah.
Because usually she doesn't really talk too much about shit like that. Mm-hmm. But I think because it affected her personally that she, you know, has been able to use that.
Mm-hmm. When she started talking about it, I was kind of like, is it going to get like, is people going to start heckling? Like,
see, that's the thing, though. That's what's fucked up, is that people are so fucking sensitive and stuff like that, that it's like, why is a subject of people dying or people being sick going to like, how does that affect you? And then I feel like that comes down to, like, the whole Trump shit and all that other stuff. And it's just, like, to me, I think it's hilarious. You know, I've always hated fucking rednecks and shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, fucking racist hillbillies and all that stuff. You know what I mean? So he kind of gets paired up with that. But, you know, like, I love it from a comedic standpoint because it makes, you know, that's funny as fuck to me, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, he was just in Waco, Texas, last week? And, like, Waco they just released that documentary about the story about the cult back in the day and stuff. Yeah. So it seems very, like, appropriate for him to be there, to be honest.
Yeah.
And especially when that happened, I looked it up. Trump in 93, when that was going down, he was, like, already, like, in court because he was arguing about Indian casinos. And, like, his, like, main headline that I read that made me fucking laugh was that he said he went to an Indian casino in Connecticut and he goes, they don't look too Indian to me. And then the guy who's, like, in charge of the whole fucking court thing, he goes, you know, that's not how we judge based off of people, right? Like, just by, like, your eye test. Yeah. Like, I'm Puerto Rican and Mexican. Trump will be like, yeah, he doesn't look that Hispanic. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. He looks white.
Oh my god. Hey, I don't care what no one says, Trump was one of the funniest presidents we ever had.
I mean, yeah, he's got a comedy roast. He's got all this shit. Like, I mean, honestly, there was a time when we all were like,
yeah,
he's cool.
Yeah. I mean, hip hop fucked with Trump at one point in time.
Pop culture fucked with Trump, yes.
Oh, pop culture in general, for sure.
I mean, he was even in Home Alone. We loved him then.
That's true.
God.
Oh, God. But it sounds like you love performing locally and stuff like that. Have you ever hit the road and like performed in other states and stuff yet?
Yeah, I just got back from Chicago 2 weeks ago, actually. Okay. I go out of state probably a couple times a year. I really just try and do like one local show per month.
Okay.
Because I like for the last couple of years, honestly, since I moved back and I started doing comedy, I mean, besides Ramon doing like, you know, something here and there, but he travels so much, so he's never really around. There's not really any like stand-up comedy shows in Lorain, or there weren't over the last couple of years, especially before they did the whole sidewalk and shit like that. You know, I was throwing stuff like before that happened, and you know, just to see the whole process of downtown Lorain and people coming out and wanting to do stuff and having that entertainment like around for you to go, you know, venture off and see. Because like the people that I have at my shows are, you know, they have, you know, fucking Netflix stuff. Like they've been on TV, movies, like different shit like that too as well. Like I get people from out of state, all the top Cleveland people, especially a lot of the good up and coming comics that I, you know, have worked with personally over the past couple years. But I just like doing stuff for Lorain. Like being from here too as well. Like, I feel like when I was younger, there wasn't really stuff like that to go see and whatnot. So I like being a part of, the new development in the downtown and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
it's, you're like so helping create that, you know, like and a lot of people say like Speak of the Devil was like one of the first anchors of like a business that like they came to Lorain to like make something special and they did it. Mm-hmm. I think same with you. You're coming here. You're trying to bring things here instead of having to travel, but you do like to travel, but
I mean, that's more of like the traveling thing is, I mean, I have to, I have to, I mean, I want to be bigger. I want to be more successful. So I have to put myself out there and do that. But in return, because I'm getting bigger, that means that my shows in downtown Lorain are going to be bigger for the people and stuff like that, which is cool.
I love it.
Definitely going to be one of the pioneers one day. David Morales brought people to Lorain to watch comedy.
You have some merch, and I think, is it the King of Broadway? And like
Yeah, I got King of Broadway, King of Lorain. That's cool. Nice. Bunch of different monikers or whatever the fuck you call them. Like,
nice.
That people have fucking like given me, honestly. Yeah, I mean, hey. I didn't even call myself King of Broadway. My buddy Jonathan Sinibaldi started calling me that like a couple years ago, and then it just kind of like sticked.
Nice.
So I mean, I'll take that title.
You should make like people hail you at the "All hail the king!" Like when you get to your set, like please, everybody, please rise.
I mean, I live in downtown, so I mean, it is my block, so.
You know, step on it, be on your Zamunda shit, have rose petals before you walk.
You know, literally, like, I know every single business owner in downtown Lorain.
Oh, really?
Like, I'm cool with all, like everybody. Like that's literally, right. It's like the Truman Show when I'm walking down the street.
Nice.
Like everyone's like, "Good morning, good afternoon."
Okay. I had a follow up question to my like, you know, out of state travel. Which crowd has been the toughest for you out of state? Like, which city or state has like the toughest crowd to perform for?
I wouldn't necessarily say they're tough. Because honestly, like once you start doing comedy like long enough and you're like comfortable with your set and you're able to do crowd work and stuff like that, I mean, you don't really bomb anymore.
Okay.
You just kind of like, you know, I mean, it's just different types of personalities.
Okay.
Chicago, since I was just there recently, they honestly, it's very diverse, the crowd. Like a lot of like Hispanics, like Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, Black, you know, like. Not too many white people, honestly, at some of the shows that I was at. But I do really love my Caucasian people, though.
Thank you.
But yeah, you know, like, I feel like they were just a little bit more aggressive. Because, I mean, it's Chicago, you know what I mean? So they're like, they have like that aspect of thing. And like, they didn't even like, I mean, being from Lorain, like, they thought I was, like, from, like, a fucking, like, farm or some shit. I grew up in the projects, like, my whole life. Like, you know what I mean? And, like, they were like, you're from Ohio, like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what? I'm like, you do understand that there's, like, cornfields in Illinois, right? Like, Chicago is not just a separate island. And, like, but that's how they feel, though, you know what I mean? Like, they think that they're just, like, that fucking tough shit type stuff. So, usually when you deal with crowds like that, I mean, I don't back down. I, you know, it's like, fuck you. Right. I had this lady, she was kept talking to me, and she was like, she brought up the Ohio thing. Because I did a joke about the train crash. Was it Palestine or mm-hmm. something?
Yeah,
or Palestine. I did a joke about that, and I was like, yeah, I got three testicles now, or some shit like that. You know, I've been drinking the water. And then she was like, she said some shit. She was like, that's some hillbilly shit or something like that. And then my next joke was about, like, I was talking about dating apps and how I've been using Busted Newspaper recently as a dating app. I'm just finding, like, hot local girls who've been arrested for, like, you know what I mean? Not, like, you know, crazy aggressive stuff, but right. maybe, like, stalking or something. Like, you know, menacing or something. You know what I mean? Like, at this point in my life, I feel like I just need someone who cares. You know? So, and she has proven three times this year that she cares quite a bit. And then I went back to the girl, and I was like, this is my date, actually, tonight from Busted Newspaper.
Oh, wow.
I was like, she got busted for a DUI, but she's a good person. I was like, she's driving me home tonight. And then literally her friend starts cracking up, and she goes, she did just get a DUI.
Hell to the no.
That's like, too funny.
I was like, yeah, I could sense that. And then she shut the fuck up for the rest of the show.
There you go.
Damn. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you got to do that.
That's too funny.
I love it, though. I mean, as long as you, I mean, because, like, there's a certain point between having fun and being aggressive.
Right.
You know what I mean? If, like, I'm doing a set and you want to joke around or chime in or something, we can do that. But, I mean, this is my show, so
right.
you're going to have to shut up.
Right.
And we can work it out, you know? But I've never had anyone, like, try and get, like, physical or anything like that. No, I feel like that would be...
No Will Smith shit.
I would fucking smack the shit out of somebody with a microphone. It would be all you would hear is that.
respectfully,
definitely, and then continue my set.
There you go.
Did you ever have like a backup plan? Of like, okay, what if this comedy stuff really doesn't work? Did you have like something lined up or something that was like, I'll run a business or something?
Honestly, I mean, I am a business.
Well, true,
but damn. I would say, I think it was like 3 years now, 4 years maybe. 4 years ago, I was involved in like a really bad car accident.
Okay.
And me and a buddy, we got hit by a drunk driver, and it was that girl from Chicago, actually. but we got hit going on our way to fucking Don Tequila's on a Tuesday to get some tacos. We had just met up, and we're on 21st and Levitt, and we got fucking T-boned. By like this dude who just fucking went all the way down 21st doing like 80. And he had already hit people on Overland Avenue too, and then sped down all 21st, and then we met him like at the light. As soon as the light turned green, boom. And then my buddy, he gets knocked out and drives us into like a pole, and we're all fucked up. I'm like, my face is all bloody and just all shit's going on. And after that experience, I feel like that's when I like really started like taking it a lot more serious, and just not really, like, I don't know, not losing...
Holding back or...
Yeah, right, momentum. Like, oh, yeah, for sure, definitely. Mm-hmm. The whole thing, honestly. Like, I feel like that was, like, God telling me, like, you know, like, hey, man, you got another chance.
Right.
You know, like, don't fucking waste it.
Right. It reaffirmed tomorrow's not promised.
Oh, for go sure. Oh, and the way, I mean, I was in the backseat, no seatbelt.
Oh, shit. What?
And, like, we all got knocked out, and then... when I woke up, I thought they were dead. Like, it was
bad. I mean, understandably, I understand.
Yeah, because they weren't moving, and like my face was all fucked up, bleeding. They thought I like ruptured my spleen and shit. Mm. Like, because I felt so full, and I didn't even get those tacos yet. You know what I mean?
Also, like blood and bruising.
Yeah,
and shit.
Yeah. It was like 2 days before Thanksgiving too. So,
oh God,
I wasn't able to.
God bless you, man.
Thank you, appreciate it. I wasn't able to celebrate Thanksgiving with my family and stuff like that. So. That was like an eye-opening experience.
Man. Well, I'm glad that you're here today to talk to us, and I'm glad you saw another day, man. That shit's crazy. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Oh, for sure. But I think that was like what kind of like made me want to do it a lot more and just take it a lot more serious.
Damn.
Man. Well, you got it. Any other questions?
Oh, that's all I came up with today.
Is there someone out there as a comedic goal of yours to open for someone, to be at a certain venue, Madison Square Garden, or like somewhere?
You know, honestly, no.
No?
I don't think, I would like to work with people, but I mean, I don't necessarily have like a person or anything like that. I mean, if I could, like, I'm really trying to, I don't think I'll do stand up my whole life. I would like to move to, you know, eventually like TV or film or screenwriting and stuff like that. Nice. Get a lot better at that. We have a couple things that we're going to be filming this year, actually. I have like a really good, you know, circle, personal team of people that are just very creative, that I've been working with over the past couple of years. So just trying to get better at that, honestly. And, it would be dope to go on tour with Mo, just because we're both from Lorraine.
There you go.
Like, I think that'd be cool, but other than that, I don't really care.
Nice, nice.
We just get money.
So you mentioned earlier or later this year you have some stuff planned. You dropped a flyer, I think, last night with shows up until like August.
Yeah. I'm actually, I have April 14th, two Fridays from now, I think that is, like 2 weeks. I'm doing a show at Uniontown Provisions. They have a backstage area kind of deal where they have like, it's pretty dope actually. It's all the way in the back of the building because it used to be like a recording studio. So they drop down all the walls and they put up a stage off in the corner. And then there's like a private bar too as well. I did a show there with Dave Hill, who he's originally from Cleveland, but he's been on, he's like an actor, actor comedian. He's been in like a lot of movies and TV shows and shit like that. So he came out and we packed that whole room, had it sold out. It was pretty dope. 2 weeks, we're going to have Brett Thomas come out. He is a really good friend of mine from Cleveland. I've never seen him like headline at shows. He's always featuring for people, so I'm going to let him headline this time.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to give him that chance and opportunity to, you know, just fucking kill it. And I know he can. And then I have a couple other, you know, features that are coming out from Cleveland area too as well. A lot of people that work at Hilarities and different comedy clubs.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the following week, we're doing a show in downtown Amherst as well. I'm going to have Ramon come out for that. He's going to headline. And then John Armstrong, Tim Wolf, and Hannah Belmont, who's originally from Chicago, she's coming out. And then when Ramon goes on tour in May, I think that is, I'm doing his 420 show too. I'm doing a bunch of shit. But in May, I'm going to be hosting his show every Friday out in Tremont at a place called Dunlap's.
Nice.
Yeah. How did, like, with you being able to announce all these shows you're doing and collaborations you're doing with other comedians and stuff like that, like, do you ever just take time and reflect, like, damn, like, I'm really doing this? And just, like, take time to really, like, soak it in?
You try to from time to time. I meditate a lot, actually. I smoke a lot of weed, too. I was nominated for Cleveland Comedy Award this year too for Best Producer, and that was the first time I've been nominated, which is cool.
Hey, shout out to you, bro.
Thanks. And that's like voted in within like the comedies, like, you know, the comedians and stuff like that.
That's awesome. Like, so your peers?
Yeah, basically. Okay. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
To be nominated this year. But I would say, I only have moments like that when I'm like at big shows.
Okay.
Like, before I go on, I usually like to hype myself up or something like that. So I usually give myself a little ego boost, like, you know, you're the fucking man.
I'm a king of Broadway.
Yeah, basically. Let's go do some king shit. You know what I mean?
Nice.
But other than that, I try to stay humble, to be honest with you. I'm not anywhere close to, I feel like, my potential can be by any standpoint, honestly.
Okay.
I just try and meditate and just, you know, stay calm. And I have a lot of good friends that I, you know, have in my corner and stuff like that, that I just fuck with, honestly, just them, and just keep it moving. There
you go. Oh,
now, you had mentioned at the beginning of the episode, you started with like screenwriting and stuff like that and scripts and like doing shorts. Like, how did that come about? Like, how did that passion? Because I know, like,
well, I was always interested in movies, like film and. Like, when I was a kid, even to this day, one of my best friends, his name is Scott Jones. Shout out, Scott.
Scott.
Scott. Any flyer or merchandise that I have, Scott is the designer. He does all that.
Okay, okay.
Me and him, when we were kids, we were literally like camcorder, like fucking making movies in the backyard, like all that shit. And till this day, we have a really good friend who is from Elyria. He ended up moving out to LA, and now he's like an official film agent and represents actors and directors and shit like that. Like, he's actually like in the business and like probably one of the most, you know, whenever I have someone to talk to about professional shit like that or advice and stuff, I mean, he's definitely my main guy to talk to.
Nice.
Basically, and having a friend like that, I mean, he sends me stuff all the time as far as like scripts to get ideas about or that I can look at as like an example and stuff like that. So he's also very like, whenever like we talk, literally, there's never like any kind of self-doubt or any of that. Like, it's always like, you're gonna do it, you're gonna fucking kill, like, let's get this going.
Well, that's fucking awesome.
Hell yeah.
Motivation all the time. We always motivate each other.
That's great.
So you two are like each other's biggest supporters.
Oh yeah. In your group, there's probably, I mean, that whole three, like when we get the whole FaceTime going, me, Scott, and Brian, dude, that's a fucking trifecta right there.
Nice.
That's what's up. Also great to hear. Mm-hmm. Just like friendships that can, you can elevate to the next level and just really become family to a sense and really help you grow and just have that basically tribe to help grow together, which is pretty fucking cool.
It's funny too, because like when we were kids, me and Scott, we've known each other since we were like 3 or 4. And then Brian moved in next door to Scott when he was like 12 or 13, I think, or some shit. Mm-hmm. And originally, like, Scott didn't want me and Brian to be friends. Because he didn't want to like share us. He like wanted us to keep us separate. So then he would tell like each of us that like the other one was talking shit about. So then eventually like me and Brian just hated each other and we never even fucking like talked or anything. So then the one day he like just stopped over at my house and I was like, all right, this dude just came for some work. I was like, we're about to fight.
Let's go.
And then all of a sudden he like starts talking to me. He's like, you know, like, he's like, were you saying this? Were you doing this? Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, nah, I didn't say that shit. And he said some like weird stuff that like I knew that I didn't say. And I was like, did you say this? And he was like, no. He's like, I don't even know you, man. I was like, he's like, you want to go get some food? And I was like, yeah, let's go.
Oh, wow.
and then literally we were like friends ever since then. And then we ended up telling Scott, like, fuck you, man.
Yeah, but not on Scott, like, yeah. Scott, what the fuck, bro?
Do you guys still bust his balls about that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck sure. Yeah.
He's always been the emotional one for sure.
Yeah.
Even though they call me Emo Dave, but you know what I mean? Like, that's it's fucked up.
Hell no. What advice would you give to a young rookie trying to enter this game? Like, who wants to be a comedian? Like, if they approached you and asked you, like, how do you navigate these waters? What would you tell them?
Let me get my notepad out.
I would say just to be yourself, honestly. And, you have to, like, I feel like a lot of younger people, you'll see it all the time, or people will message me and stuff like that, and they kind of just, like kiss ass and try and suck up, or, like, I mean, if you're going to do anything, like, they always tell you you have to be at all the shows, you always have to be around for this and that, and blah, blah, blah. And that's what I used to do in the beginning. I was at, like, all the shows and was fucking doing this. Like, even if I wasn't on the show, I'd just show up and whatnot and blah, blah, blah. But eventually I was like, man, I don't fucking like doing that because I like being at home and not doing anything. You know what I mean? I like having that peace of just not being out every fucking night and doing that. And, you know, I think it's if you're first starting off because, I mean, you do that because you want them to notice you and so you can get like networked in and this and that. But I'm already fucking networked in at this point. You know what I mean? So I don't really have to do that shit anymore. So but I would say that just don't kiss ass and have a good 5 minutes at.
There you go.
Okay.
5 minutes is all you need. Start off with 5 minutes.
There you go. So if you can put 5 good minutes together, you might have something.
Yep.
Good luck.
And be yourself.
I should try it one time.
No. Please no.
Why was that like so like no? So definite.
You should go to LVT. They do it every Wednesday at like 9. It's it's like the most popular open mic. Like literally everyone is there too.
You know what?
They don't laugh at your shit.
No,
because they're all comics.
So
they're all drinking. They're all talking.
So they don't. Nobody laughs.
Yeah, no. It's the most like. So it's a Jewish. Very. It's a very.
That's like very unsettling. Like
it's good though.
Yeah, because if you can get one to laugh, it'll make you better.
It'll make you better.
You know what? You should do it. I would actually enjoy that.
Exactly.
I want to encourage you.
The best is when like someone is bombing, and then you'll just like it'll be real quiet, and then you just have that one person in the back who goes, "Ha!"
That'll be me for you, Jake.
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks, man.
I got you.
I love that. Yeah, you should do it. Connect it to this episode too, because I want to watch it.
Okay.
That'd be some shit if I actually got out there. Oof.
It'll be good for our social media too.
Thanks,
Jacob bombing.
Jacob bombing terribly.
Epic fail.
Epic fail.
I believe in you.
Thanks.
I mean, you got one of the King of Broadway saying he believes in you. Now you really got to do it.
Frank would lose his shit if he saw me up there. You did that, Jake?
He'd probably be your worst heckler, to be honest.
Oh, honestly, he would be.
He would be.
There's not a day that I see him that he does not threaten me.
Jesus.
He literally threatens me all the time. He tells me he's going to kick my ass every single time he sees me.
I'm not surprised by this at all.
And especially, like, I'll order, like, food or whatever, like, because, like, while I'm working or something like that, you know, like, get some carry out DoorDash shit. And then I'll have, like, some leftovers. And I'm like, dude, you want this? And I'll give it to him. And I'm like, oh, man, thanks. And I'm like, all right, cool. Like, 5 minutes later, he's like, I can't wait till I whoop your ass. And I'm like, what?
Where is this aggression coming from?
I don't know why he's so angry. Has he always been that angry his whole life?
Yes.
Makes sense. It's because he's so fucking short, though.
I said it's short man syndrome.
That's what it is. I would throw him so fucking far. Like, I'm not the strongest guy, but I would fuck him up. I love Franco.
Shout out Franco, bro. Yeah. You got mentioned in the episode, bro.
I looked at Franco's Twitter once. Don't look at Franco's Twitter.
No.
Don't look at it. He got dragged a couple times.
Oh,
he's gotten dragged a couple times. Where I was like,
terrible.
I texted him. You want to talk about
cancel culture, right?
He is. He's been canceled like 17 times. I'm not even on Twitter. Just the shit that they sent to the group chat. Yeah. I know he's been canceled.
There's one instance he said something. I'm just like, I texted. I literally took the time out the day and texted him. I said, Franco, get off Twitter. Mm-hmm. That's all I said. I didn't explain. I said, get off Twitter. He's like, man, bro. I said, stop. Get off Twitter. That's all you got to do.
Mm-mm. What does your dad think about him?
No comment. And then he called me. Like, we went in on a Christmas gift one day. Like, all five siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me while he was drinking. First of all, I don't like it when people call me while they're drinking. And that shit pisses me off.
Mm-hmm.
And then busted my balls about something that I had no control over. And then I'm like, then had the audacity to hang up after me after I was coming hot at him for entering out to my night.
He hung up on you.
Oh, he hung up. And that shit pissed me off to the 10th extent. So guess what I did? I called him right the fuck back. I said, why you hang up with me?
You let a drunk get you hot?
Bro. Then he was like, man, I ain't got time for this click. I said, you called me first. No, then I called him back one more time. I said, but you called me first. So now I have time, and we're going to talk about this. Man, whatever. I'm done talking about it.
I love that.
Okay.
Jacob, why do you want to argue with a drunk?
He started it.
There's something wrong with you.
There's a lot wrong with me. We've been friends for 10 years, bro. You should already know
10?
This.
10? That's more than 10.
Oh, yeah, like 12, 13.
I'm trying to find it.
But as we have a break right now, I can't see the time no more.
Oh, okay.
No,
that's geeky as shit.
He needs that wig.
Yes,
he needs something.
We need to start a GoFundMe for Franco so he can have a wig. I think it would be a lot cooler, honestly. He might not.
Watch Franco with a wig.
He probably won't be as angry.
He might not be.
Might feel better with hair.
Yeah, I can see that.
He wants to move it, you know?
The little swoof.
Sure.
As we got a break, let's shout out our new merch. We have new merch that just dropped at creativegeniusbrand.org. Go to the IOU tab, click it, and pre-order. Pre-order deadline is April 15th, so make sure you get your pre-orders in.
Dave.
Hey, what's good?
What's up?
What are you doing?
Nothing. I'm watching TV.
Are you drunk?
No. I gotta go to work today, unfortunately.
Sorry to hear that.
What you watching, man? Nat Geo?
Naked and Afraid.
What's up, big bro? How are you, bro?
What's up, Jake?
You're on the show right now. Dave just called you.
I was telling him about how you... I was telling him... You got a wig? Shut the fuck up.
We were just talking about this.
Did you really get a wig?
No.
Oh, damn.
St. Patrick's Day, that little green one.
Okay, never mind
then. You with the green leg is like a bad cosplay outfit or some shit.
Which have you guys started?
We already started, man.
We're almost done.
And we about to go, so fuck you.
Alright, have fun, man.
He just took it on the chin. Alright, have fun. He'll fuck you back in nothing.
Oh, Franco. But look, I gotta give Franco props, because this man has highs and lows, but I tell you what, he's doing really good for himself, and I love him.
Shout out to Franco.
But man, he be having me weak as fuck sometimes. So what we like to do when we have a guest on the episode, we usually like to ask him, do you have any questions for us?
Questions for you guys? How long have you been doing this podcast?
Our first episode was released October 20th of 2020.
Oh, really?
So we were COVID baby. This was a COVID deal.
COVID nice. Project.
Yeah. Nice. So you guys were all hanging out during COVID?
Kind of. It was
basically what you weren't supposed to do.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. We were breaking laws.
Yeah. Oh, well. But yeah, since like October of 2020.
So we just hit our 100th episode a few weeks ago. So
oh, really?
Just trying to be real consistent. Nice. We'll take a couple weeks off or a week off, but pretty consistent. We've had like 40 guests on, you know, entrepreneurs, local people, local community leaders, just a lot of people in general. So we love having you on and talking about what you're doing and your future. And
I honestly never do podcasts because I don't like podcasts.
Really?
But I actually enjoyed myself.
Well,
yes. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad we made a good first impression. Yeah, because with this, we just want to give back, give people a spotlight, amplify them. And this is going to be like, when you think about it, like a small library of information when you listen to our shows, because everybody that we have on does something and gives you a little bit of insight to how to get in the game and what to do.
Something different. Realtor, a comedian, musician.
Oh, for sure, definitely.
There's so
teachers.
Many. We had a teacher, previous teacher, Brian Clark.
Mr. Clark.
I said Mr. Clark.
We had him. He hit us up. He was like, I like your guys' show. Can I be a guest? I was like, is that even a question?
He used to play Blink-182, like while we were like being in class, like no, doing our work and shit.
Not Clark or Brian.
Right.
He looked at us. He was like, "Look, you guys are out of school now. You guys can call me Clark or Brian." Stop with the Mr. Clark stuff. And I was like, "All right, Mr. Clark."
He called him Clark.
I just call him Clark. Now. Like he's my fucking detective. Get in my office, Clark.
Clark. Talk to you. So at the end of that was really loud. I'm sorry. So at the end of every episode, we do a mental health check. Basically, 1 through 10, mentally, financially, just where you at this week. And I can't throw it to Asha. Go first. I guess I go first.
You can start with this chocolate guy.
Okay.
I'll step in for Asha.
All right, Cliff.
I'm going to say I'm at a 9. Again, what I told you guys before the podcast, I'm hired at BJ's now. Laid back atmosphere. I'm going to see what that's like. Nice. Start DoorDash here pretty soon. And then just waiting for an HVAC place to pick me up. I paid for my cap and gown the other day.
Nice. Shout out to you.
I go to Ohio Business College for HVAC.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I graduated.
I got an HVAC guy. I can hook you up with you.
Well, I'll definitely take that after the show because I've been trying to get my foot in the door. And I'm just looking forward to June 23rd and looking forward to writing this letter to be an Alpha Beta Kappa too.
Nice.
Nice, Brody.
I'm going to pass it to John next.
Hey. You know, this week, I'm telling you again, I just thought it was last Sunday. So that's already 7 days ago. Shit. My car, last week after the episode, my brakes went out.
No way.
Yeah, fuck. Shout out to Musics. Got me right, but damn.
Local business.
Damn. But, so that was another hit in my pocket, but.
Your pocket's been taking hits lately, bro.
I'm getting beat up right now. But everything's good, man. Everything's good. Can't complain. We just had Easter dinner yesterday because there's just the logistics of it with my family. So that was good to see my niece, Ruby. She's a gem. She's turning 2 next week. So.
You feel old now?
No, I'm turning 30 in a couple. This month. I'm turning 30 this month.
Can't even remember what month it is.
So
I got the door open for you.
Yeah.
Doing this.
Welcome to the party room, bro.
Yeah. But as far as the number, I'm going to say I'm a 9 right now. I'm hoping after this, I'm going to go to the driving range. If it's decent out, I have a hoodie in the car. So
nice.
But yeah, everything's good. Can't complain. Just hoping the weather gets better here soon.
Me too. Oh, I'm next?
Yeah, what about you?
I'm a solid 8.
Okay.
Everything's been going good this week. I ain't really actually got nothing to complain about. We went pub putting yesterday. Parker had fun. He took a nap, so that's always good. But besides that, I mean, everything else has been going pretty good.
House hunting? How's that?
Still hunting.
Where'd you play pub putt at?
Alien Invasion Golf Course in Medina. It's inside, glow in the dark 3D. Hmm. So it's pretty fun. Nope. I'm goated. I'm gonna eat butt butt. So yeah. Mr. Dave, David.
I am a 10 out of 10. There you go. Always striving and thriving, my brother.
Oh, there nice. Go. There you go.
Always. Love it. Love it.
It's good to be the king.
It's good to be the king. I like that. I like that.
Oh, Broadway.
Well, science.
Jesus, I ain't throwing up no gang signs.
I didn't know. I was asking the question.
Did you want to elaborate more? Just
no, I just. I mean, I feel very fortunate about my life. Like, I have a lot of shit going on. Mm-hmm. I'm busy as fuck.
No, okay, there you go. Before we go, I want to give our sponsor, Creative Genius Brand, a shout out before we go. Thank you, Ash, for all that you do. Go check out the website and the new merch, because he does have up-to-date designs now, right?
Yes.
So go on over to Creative Genius Brand. Check
pre-order.
Out.
Pre-order.
Pre-order now.
There you go. And Dave, before we go, David, did you want to give any of your platforms a shout out or anybody before we go?
Just follow me on Instagram, David M Comedy. One word. You can Google me, like Dave Morales Comedian, and you'll see my shows and shit like that. Linktree.com/fucking David M Comedy. Once you go to like all those sites, it has all the fucking tickets.
It'll all web together.
Yep, merchandise, tickets, all that shit. But follow me on Instagram because I'm trying to get that shit out.
Okay. There we go.
Got you.
I do have a gym, and I got this one memorized. I just watched Yellow Jackets, and the nerdy, crazy girl Misty in it said this. What did she say over the phone to the girls that were bullying her? Oh, opinion is the wilderness between ignorance and knowledge, and that's by Plato.
I like that.
Nice. Thank you, Plato.
I have a tangent today. I was going to go on to it, but I'm not.
No, he's too chill
for this. Yeah, he's too chill. Yeah. This
episode. We'll save it for the next
one. I will. But that's been an episode of It's On Us Podcast. Until next time.
Always chill, baby. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. Later, Mom. I should really get a clicker for my phone.
Oh, shit.
I think we have one.
Jesus.
All right. There we go.